This Christmas, for the first time, America's most exciting and legendary motion picture hero comes to the screen like you've never seen him before.
The Bat!
In an all-new, larger-than-life feature film. Now, the Dark Knight confronts his newest and most menacing villain.
Your angel of death awaits.
The Phantasm.
I want you.
And faces his greatest danger.
Can't be too careful with all those weirdos around.
A soaring new adventure. Batman, Mask of the Phantasm. The animated movie. Coming for a Christmas you'll never forget.
Watching every feature film list as a certain King Crusader. Batman! Batman! Yes, of course I'm watching the cartoon and all three Lego movies. Batman! Batman!
Sing it with me.
Batman! Batman! This is Big Screen Batman!
Oh, oops.
Oh, Batman.
All right. How's everybody doing out there? Why don't you sit back and get ready for a sexy evening talking about Batman? Look, folks. I had this whole thing planned of what I wanted to talk about. Tonight I watched Batman, The Mask of the Phantasm from 1993. But then I got to the end of the movie. And this song started. This song that felt so out of place. And yet felt so 90s. Written by Glenn Ballard. And Syda Garrett, who co-wrote Man in the Mirror. This is I Never Even Told You from that musical superstar, Tia Carrere. Finding it hard to focus on the movie. The moment the song came on, I was like, what is happening? And then I saw who was written by Glenn Ballard, who, as I told you, along with the woman who co-wrote this song, Syda, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, Garrett, they wrote the amazing Man in the Mirror. She's written a ton of songs. He co-wrote Alanis Morissette's huge Jagged Little Pill album. And they did this for, as I said, Tia Carrere. Now, if that name doesn't sound familiar to you, she is the female lead in Wayne's World and True Lies and Wayne's World 2 and Showdown in Little Tokyo. Oh, I remember that movie. And yeah, I remember in Wayne's World, she was supposed to be a singer, and apparently she put out actual music. Music that was good enough to be on the 1993 animated film Batman, Mask of the Phantasm. So yes, 1993. This came out after Batman Returns, and in the middle of the Batman the Animated Series, while that was kind of riding high, maybe a year in, I looked up, it was 92 to 95. a year in, and then they put out a feature film from the TV show. I mean, this is basically a spinoff of the TV show. We have the same animation, the same voice actors, Kevin Conroy as Batman and Bruce Wayne, Mark Hamill as the Joker. And then there were other names in there that were like big names. Stacey Keach, Dana Delaney, Abe Vigoda, who once I heard, when I heard his name, I go, that, when I heard the voice, I said, that has to be Abe Vigoda. And I'm happy it was. Now, I was 17. It says it came out around Christmas time in 93, which means that I was already going out with my wife at that point. Crazy. And I was going into my, no, I was in my senior year of high school. Wait a minute. Wait a second. 93. Senior year in high school. And I think I'm trying to be cool. And I went to the movies with my brother and my friend Dave. Hi, Dave. Who were both in college. So we had two college guys, one high school senior, going to a second-run movie theater in Haverhill. It was called the Cinema 495, or I think I always called it the 495 Cinema. It then became a Chunky's. If you don't know what a Chunky's is, that is a kind of a cinema pub where you sit in old-fashioned cars, old car seats, and people you can eat, and there's like a full, you know, menu and stuff. And that's when movie theaters were still a thing. Now it's a Planet Fitness. But ooh, the memories, the movies I've seen in that theater. Well, there's two I remember, that and Boys in the Hood. Maybe Ford Fairlane, I don't know. But yeah, I went to see this in the theater, and I remember next to nothing about it. I haven't seen it since 27 years ago. I almost said 37, but that would be bad math. So this movie was in the theater, so it counts, big screen Batman. It has nothing to do with the Burton like world or anything like that. This is its own thing. This is, but it is still like the whole show was created based on, I think, the Burton creation. There's the Danny Elfman music. There's the like the Gotham style, that the design, the production design, I guess you could say, very much reminiscent of or inspired by the Tim Burton movies. And yet the Batman costume was more the traditional dark blue cowl and cape and like the gray suit. You know, the Batman the Animated Series is, I hate to say, it's kind of a hole for me, because I remember seeing episodes here or there, but never catching all the episodes. And then, like, I think I wanted to be cool in college or something and didn't care that much. You think, you know, it's here, it's gone. Maybe you can get it on VHS someday. But now, with the streaming world, hopefully this will end up on HBO Max someday. Now that DC... the DC universe is kind of going away. I would love to watch every episode of the original Batman, the animated series, and then the spinoff that they did, the Superman animated series. I would love to catch all of those. I know some of those are on Amazon at some point, but someday I'm going to watch all of those because I like them. And I really like this movie. What I enjoyed about it, first of all, never mind the voice acting was great, but the crudeness of the animation, and the reason I say that is, you see these, well, now everything is, you know, these big budget animated computer animated movies, everything looks perfect and everything is so well detailed, where this still had that old hand-drawn feel. I mean, it was a small budget for a movie. I'm looking if Wikipedia is to be correct. It's a $6 million budget, and it only made 5.8 at the box office, so it didn't really do very well. It lost money, I guess. Filmmakers blame Warner Brothers for the unsuccessful marketing campaign. Despite this, Mask of the Phantasm eventually turned a profit with various home video releases. Yeah, I would say, you know, in the end, it became a hit and or it became successful. But I never, like when I went to watch these movies, I forgot about it for a second, I have to admit. And I looked up all the feature films that Batman was in. I was like, oh yes, I get to revisit this. So it's another fun one that I hadn't seen in a long time that I was able to revisit. And Mask of the Phantasm, what does that mean? Who is the Phantasm? Well, as far as I can see, the Phantasm was a creation specifically for this movie. It looks like the character has popped up here or there in other animated films, and also in some way in the DC comics. But again, much like Harley Quinn was a creation of the cartoon that has, you know, become a huge character, this was a creation of the cartoon for the movie, never in the animated series, as far as I can tell. And of course, the Phantasm really wasn't the main villain. We still got to have our classic Batman v. Joker Dawn of Justice moments. So I'm going to try right now without any notes. I'm not looking at Wikipedia now. I'm going to try to explain the plot of this movie. Okay, here we go. This is in the theater, so there can definitely be murder. Wait, what was this rated? I don't even... Is there a way to... Rated. I'm going to... Before I rated... I don't see anything about rating. I don't know. It had to be PG. Only because, you know, there was so much murder. Yeah, so this movie opens up with... a mob guy. He's like, hey, we got to launder this money. I got all the plates. So they have, I guess, counterfeit money. And I love the acting, the animated voices. It throws back to some of the, it just feels like an older time of animation. This is Warner Brothers animation. The house that Bugs Bunny built. And the movie opened the Warner Brothers logo with Bugs Bunny biting into a carrot. And it's like the voices are very much over the top, and it's almost like it reminds you of an old 50s or 40s movie, or where they're projecting to everybody in the room and everyone talks like this. Not everybody, but a lot of the gangsters did. And so there's these mafioso guys that want to do mafioso things, and then all of a sudden there's like this bang, and Batman shows up to fight these guys. Right, so one of the guys gets away. He goes into the parking garage of this casino, and this other dude shows up with a big grill mask and he's in the smoke. It's like smoky, and he comes out of the smoke like a phantasm. Jumps on the car, and first the bad guy's like, "Hey, Bat, what are you doing here?" Starts shooting at him. Nothing happens. So this mob guy tries to escape. And the monster, the phantasm, jumps on him, jumps on the car, and then somehow the car freaks out, crashes through a windshield, crashes through the window, flies over the street, smashes into another building, and mob boss is dead. And the only thing people see is Batman. So they start thinking Batman did this, okay? Then this other mob boss... goes to the grave of the first mob guy, and he's like, you're a dirty rat or something like that. And then the phantasm shows up there and pushes this fat dude into a grave and knocks a headstone over him, killing him. So somebody's killing the mafioso guys. At the same time this is happening, Bruce Wayne finds out there's this dude who's like a councilman. and he seems really like, hey, how you doing? Like a smiley guy. He was talking to this girl on the phone who's coming into town. She hasn't been in town in, I think they say 10 years or something like that. It's been a long time since she's been in town. And she's looking at a magazine with Bruce Wayne on the cover. And then Bruce Wayne is at a party with a couple ditzy girls. You know, he's playing up the Playboy persona. And he runs into the guy who was on the phone with the woman, the councilman. He's like, I hear an old friend's coming into town. I think, am I making this up? I feel like this is how it happened. And then he starts remembering her, and he goes in to see his parents, and he's crying, and he's thinking back to a better time. He goes back to, he met this girl at the grave. He's at his parents' grave. She's at her mother's grave. That's how they meet. She knows he's Bruce Wayne. They start dating. And you don't even realize at some point they're still in a flashback. There's a lot of flashbacks in this movie. They're still in a flashback, and we realize he's not Batman yet. He's a guy who wants to do the right thing, beat people up, you know, avenge his parents, but he tries to do something, but he doesn't dress up as a bat. So they're not afraid of him. So it's like you see these little things as he's learning. So it actually kind of works as a origin story of Batman and as an origin story of the Joker. Which I'm assuming in the animated series, we just picked up as everything. We all know everything about these characters. As far as Batman, the Joker, they're already there. They're living in a world that we just have to kind of jump in the middle of. In this, they take the time to go back to show Batman, Bruce Wayne fall in love with this woman. And then he proposes to this woman. She accepts. And then he meets her dad, and the dad, the councilman actually worked for the dad. This is years ago. So he's a young guy working for the dad, and they see some mafioso guy show up because the dad does finances. So they leave later. He drops the woman off at home. There's some mafioso guys there. Bruce Wayne's like, oh, I wonder what that's about. The next day he gets the letter and the ring back saying, I have to leave. Goodbye. I'm leaving town. This is all flashbacks. Mind you, at the same time, she's in town, and at one point, he's dressed up as Batman at the grave, and she's like, huh? She recognizes he's Bruce. He finds a picture with all the mafioso guys and her dad, so he puts two and two together that the dad was actually working with the mob, then needed to escape the mob with her. That's why she didn't get engaged, okay? Now, all these mob guys are getting killed, picked off one by one. She says, I heard about this. I haven't seen my dad in a long time. I haven't, you know, so they start to suspect that the dad is obviously the phantasm who came back to kill all these mafioso guys because they are, they'll never let him be free because he owed them money. He paid them back, but it was never enough. They wanted interest, blah, 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 blah. So the last remaining mob guy goes to the Joker, and he's like, you need to help me. The Batman is killing all of us. And he's like, what do I look like? An exterminator? I think that's what he said. Something like that. As you can see, I'm really good at this stuff. And he's like, I'll pay you all this money. And Joker's like, great, ha, 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 ha. And you think he's going to help this guy. So then we're at this guy's house, and the phantasm shows up to kill him. He takes his blanket off, and the guy's already dead, but there's a camera there, and the camera is looking at the phantasm, and he's like, whoa, you're not the bat. But now your face is in your name is going to be all over the place, just like the rest of you. And then he goes to explode the building. The phantasm jumps out of the building in time, but now the Joker knows that the Batman is not responsible for all these things. So the Joker ends up going to the councilman, and you're like, what's the connection there? Turns out the councilman was still in touch with that woman's dad, Beauregard or Bagaro or whatever the hell his name is, doesn't matter, and getting money from him to help with his campaign. But when that ended up, he sold the guy out to the mafia. Right? Is that what happened? He sold the guy over to the mafia, something like that. And at some point, Bruce Wayne is looking at the photo of all these guys, and he looks at one of the henchmen up in the upper right corner, and he draws a smile on him and realizes, oh my goodness, that's the Joker. So the Joker was part of this mafia, and until of course he dropped in the chemicals. Yeah, right? Okay. So then I forget what happens, but the Phantasm shows up to kill the Joker, and the Joker knows it's a woman. And she takes the mask off, and it wasn't the dad, it was the girl that loved Batman the entire time. Then Batman shows up. He's like, we need to leave, everything's going to explode because there was dynamite, doesn't matter. Then the Joker and the Phantasm fight. Everything kind of explodes. Batman falls into this water, gets out. There was a huge fight with him and the Joker that was kind of cool. I remember seeing what happens to the Joker. And the Batman ends up back at his cave, and he sees this shiny metal, and there was a pendant that she had, and she left it there. So she's obviously still alive. And the Batman's name is cleared because he's no longer wanted for these murders, because I guess, my God, I don't know, man. I liked it and I watched it, and I'm sure I got like at least 65% of this right. I was just too distracted by the song. The song at the end just threw me for a loop. So I had to stay to see the soundtrack. The soundtrack had one song listed. This song. I know. It is pretty amazing. I think I've covered everything. This movie wasn't even an hour and 20 minutes long. Short and sweet. A nice, long, animated episode. With a villain. The villain's the Joker, really. But with another villain, quote-unquote anti-hero, the Phantasm, that really, unless I dozed off, the Phantasm was not explained in any way. The smoke she used to disappear, the fact that she was getting shot at and nothing happened, the fact that someone threw like a stick or a spear or something at her and it went right through her. None of that was explained to me, right? I didn't miss that, did I? Yeah, I just wanted to mention that before finishing up here. So, yeah, I think I'm done. I think I'm done. So this was the third Batman movie that I saw in the theater with my brother. And the last Batman movie I saw with him for a good long while. I believe the next one in the theater that I saw with him was Dark Knight. I don't, unless he was with me at Batman Begins, I'm not sure. And this is the, and the first that I've seen with Dave, but definitely not the last. Yes, I can imagine. You know, you see, nowadays, people of all ages are going to superhero movies. But in 1993, to see a young high school boy and two college men going into a theater to see an animated, dare I say, a cartoon Batman movie must have been shocking for the people working at the theater that evening. That's all I'll say. Folks, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. This is Big Screen Batman, a little special that I'm doing here on the Geek Mentality podcast. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Geek Mentality. The website is fansnotexperts.com. And of course, the Facebook page that I barely ever use is Fans Not Experts. So the next time that you will hear from me talking about Batman, we will be entering the Schumacher universe. But until that time, my friends, I'll see you soon. And here is my theme song. Wait, that's not it. No, no. Here is my theme song.
This is my podcast. I made it. Geek Mentality is what I named it. And I think you should listen and subscribe. Cause I'm kinda funny and awesome. I think that I'm worth your time. And I'm kinda handsome. My mom says, please listen and please subscribe. At least listen to this episode.
Fans Not Experts.